Welcome to Turning Two with Mike Jankowicz and Alex Metz, podcasting live from the not-so-baseball capital of the world, Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, here's Mike and Alex.
It is Sunday, July 22nd, 2012. This is the Turning Two podcast. I'm Alex Metz, sitting across to Mike Jankowicz as always.
What's up?
This is the time of the year. The time of the year where long-loved players say goodbye and put on a new uniform.
Yo, we're about to get freaky on this episode.
It is the trade deadline.
We're going to blow some shit up big time.
It's trade deadline time, and fans across the nation are about to weep unmercifully as players that they've loved for years who are old and underperforming are sent away, and they unjustly and for whatever reason feel really sad about it and have some sort of outrage when their team is really doing the right thing.
Hey, on one hand, it's sad to see these guys go, but guess what? Sometimes you gotta make a change, baby. Gotta keep it moving.
Now, in some instances, it makes sense. The Cubs probably gonna trade Matt Garza, probably gonna trade Ryan Dempster. I don't really think that any Cubs fans are gonna be shedding many tears about those two moves.
Yeah.
But we're gonna talk about the team where there's some fans that just, they're gonna see some loved players leave, and they're going to irrationally cry wolf about it.
Let's get into it. I'm ready. I got my sleeves rolled up. I'm ready to rock.
And as you probably guessed, if you've listened to this show enough, it's the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, we are not talking about this because we are Phillies fans. We are talking about this for two reasons. A, this team will undoubtedly be the biggest player at this trade deadline because they have the most pieces to work with. They have the most to lose if they don't trade. They have the most to gain if they do trade. And they have really almost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, almost 8 guys they can deal here. And let's be honest, they're not making the playoffs.
They're not making a run. It's not going to happen.
So they're going to be a huge player at this trade deadline in probably a way that they've never been before. Usually they're the team picking up the big pieces, making the big splashes.
Right.
But I think the splash that they're going to make by trading away some of these guys is going to be even bigger.
And better. And more productive. Over a longer period of time
than the trades that they made to get guys like Royo Oswalt.
Yep.
Hunter Pence. And Cliff Lee.
Even Halliday.
So, that's the first reason we're talking about them. The second reason, I don't remember. I had it on the tip of my tongue, and I don't remember what.
Well, we do have the most intimate knowledge of this fan base.
Oh, right. We feel like the issues that we want to get into here as to why they should trade and why the fans might not be. They're very against trading.
We've heard every angle of this thing, basically, and a lot of the angles don't make sense.
We're almost using this as a case study for fan bases across the nation.
That's a good way to put it.
As to, okay, we're going to make Philadelphia a microcosm of MLB fandom.
Yes.
And we're going to say, why are they acting like this?
Yes.
And why do fans mimic this across the land when their beloved stars get sent away? Now, we should preface this that by saying at 11:18 on Sunday early afternoon, nobody has been traded from the Phillies yet, but it's probably going to happen.
It's coming.
This is the calm before the storm, as they like to say.
Yep.
That's one of those broadcasting sort of phrases that gets tossed, cliches, if you will.
It's also a Darude song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I have no idea. Is that English, what you just said to me?
It's techno, man.
Oh, God.
It's a techno song.
Jesus. All right, so. See, that makes sense, because techno, there's a lot of building.
Yeah.
And then it explodes.
Oh, yeah.
You would think there'd probably be more techno songs named
that. You would think, but, you know.
Can we also talk about how awesome, now, you know me, I'm a little bit of a beer snob, but I love a good Bud Heavy every once in a while.
Hey, Alex, you really are the biggest beer snob that I know. And I love a good beer, but.
But I will say that Rolling Rock, Miller High Life, PBR, and Bud Heavy are the few macros that I'll delve in every once in a while, and I gotta tell you, I love this America can.
Hey, this
have you seen these America cans?
Oh, these American flag cans, they're tip top.
This is fantastic. I just feel like it just enhances my Bud Heavy drink.
I know, it's exactly what you want. When you go to drink a Bud Heavy, that's exactly what you want.
This is
a big American flag plaster on your beer can. You just want to feel like, you know, good old American boy.
This is up there with the Miller High Life camouflage cans that they had a year ago. Do you remember those?
I didn't see those.
Oh, my God. Now, if you ever wanted to shoot an animal, which I don't really condone, but I eat meat. But I'm just saying, I'm not really much of a hunter. Mm-hmm. But man, if you ever wanted to feel like a freaking redneck,
you just grab one of those.
Just grab one of those camo Miller High Life clams and just go, go to town. So I say that these are right up there. So we're enjoying a nice Bud Heavy. We're going to talk a little bit about the American sport of baseball, and it's going to be a good morning. So the reason that we wanted to kind of bring the Phillies into this sort of case study that we're doing here is it all has to do with the stigma around baseball prospects. Now, it should be noted that that's what they are. They're prospects. They're guys that have a huge ceiling. They really have so much potential to be great players, but they really haven't proven anything yet. So that's what they are. They're prospects. And that's what the guys on the radio like to say. Hey, you could trade and get these prospects back, but they're prospects. That's just what they are. That's why they're called prospects. Yeah. They love saying that.
And baseball, it is fair to say also in baseball, there's a lot more failed prospects than successful ones. Almost in more than any other sport, I think. But
I would think football.
You think?
I would say that they're somewhat equal. Because think about, let's be honest, the MLB draft and that coverage around the MLB draft is nowhere near what it is around the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. The fans pay a lot more attention to what, picks that they're making, et cetera, et cetera. They're more invested into that. They make a big deal about if they mess up a pick or not.
But think about how many first-round picks in baseball just never make it to the big leagues.
Think about how many first-round picks in football just come into it and just it's a big wet fart in the wind and they never heard from again. I would think it's almost not equal, but I would say they're pretty similar, wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. That's not really the point we're trying to make, though. The point I'm trying to make also is that the prospects do. We're gonna talk about a lot of like near MLB ready prospects.
Right. We're not talking about guys that are like waddling in A and AAA that or AA that just aren't quite ready yet. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the guys that are in AAA, and the only reason they're not in the big leagues is because they're being blocked by the team they play for.
Right.
Guys like Olt of the Rangers. Mike Olt of the Rangers, who would be
Jerickson Profar.
Who would be playing third base for the Rangers right now if Adrian Beltre wasn't there. Yeah. Now, we can't really complain about that because Adrian Beltre is an all-star. Mm-hmm. But
that's why he's not on the field.
I think that's the problem. So we want to get into this here. Basically, what we're saying is, and we've noticed this the most because we're passionate Philadelphia fans. We both come from that area. Even though we don't live there anymore, we follow our team very closely. We follow what we listen to the radio stations up there. We know what the fans are talking about and what they're saying. And what we've come to find out is that, and I don't know if this has to do with being scared of not being successful. I mean, it probably does, but they are afraid to get prospects.
Yeah, now, they think that this team...
And when we say they, we mean the callers to Philadelphia sports radio stations who are fans of the team, and other people...
Some people we know.
Some people we know personally that we talk to that are Phillies fans, they are very scared of making these moves to get younger prospects back.
Right.
Now, why are they afraid?
Well, because they're prospects, and they don't know... That's just what they are. They don't know... that. First of all, some of them don't even know who these players are. They haven't seen their numbers. They haven't seen what they're doing in the minors.
It's not a name that they recognize.
Yeah. So they think that, that they're going to trade a guy like Shane Victorino, who's had such big hits for the Phillies, Cole Hamels, World Series MVP, and they're like, holy crap, they're going to trade these guys, and we're going to be terrible. But that's not really the case.
Right.
They coincide trading like these pieces for prospects as a complete and total failure. Like the team is giving up. They're blowing up the team. This is going to set the team back 3 or 4 years before they're good again. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
That is not what's going to happen at all. If the Phillies were to make some moves to trade some players that have expiring contracts or some older guys or some guys who aren't producing and get back a player like, say, Mike Olt, who's like 22 or 23 years old and completely destroying AAA, he's going to be one of the best players in Major League Baseball. They think that that's a failure, but they don't realize exactly what they're getting back. A player like that will come in and contribute right away and get this team back on the right track to, contending for a World Series next year.
So let's use that example. A rumor came out yesterday, well, not necessarily a rumor, but the Phillies and Giants were on Fox yesterday, so Ken Rosenthal was the field reporter for that game. He brought up mid-broadcast that there were some rumblings and grumblings about the fact that Hamels and the Phillies are very close to a six-year, $130 million deal.
That'd be awesome.
And that because of this, Cliff Lee might be on the chopping block here.
Right.
So, Cliff Lee, as you know, last year signed, what was it, a five-year 127, or was it six-year 127?
I think it was five 120.
Yeah. With the Phillies, was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
It was before last year.
Before 20, yeah. So in the 2010 offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
That he signed that deal. So he's got a little bit of time left on that deal with the Phillies.
3.5 years.
However, Hamels is 28, probably the top left-hander in baseball.
Yeah.
Lee's 33. Hasn't had a great year, but has still shown in a few games that he's still
plenty of talent.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He hasn't fallen off in my eyes. He's just having a rough year.
Yeah.
So I would think that it would be in the best interest of the Phillies to trade a guy like Cliff Lee and sign a guy like Hamels.
Sure.
However, signing that deal a couple years ago, Cliff Lee also got a no-trade clause.
Right.
However, it is only 21 teams long, the no-trade clause. One of those teams is the Texas Rangers that he can go to, that he would not be able to block a trade to.
Who would love to acquire a starting pitcher.
Who would love to acquire a starting
pitcher.
Who
wanted Cliff Lee in the first place.
Wanted Cliff Lee in the first place. And
have awesome prospects.
Have awesome prospects. So, I guess what we're getting at here is when we talk about it here, it's so exciting to us because that's something that we want.
Yeah.
But
Nobody else wants it.
They, I mean, they
look
see
it as a sign of failure.
They see a guy that's been there for a couple years now in Polanco. We know Polanco's not coming back.
Yeah.
His deal expires at the end of the season. Do they really think that, A, they'll be able to find an awesome veteran third baseman
who's not like 35
on the free agent market, instead of trading something that you have in excess of, which is starting pitching,
right,
to get a younger guy in return, like Mike Olt, who could be there for the next however many years? He's not going to cost you anything because he's on a minor league deal. I mean, I don't... It just doesn't add up.
It doesn't.
We have a couple of points here about prospects. First of all, there's a stigma around them that they're risky.
Mm-hmm. But what is this Phillies team?
Risky.
No matter what way you go about it,
because
it's
old.
Risk.
Right.
Yeah, you're either with the Philly. This Phillies team, you're either risking that they're going to continue to show signs of decline, and they're going to win less games every single year, become less competitive every single year.
And let's be honest, I'm not saying that it's because of guys like Chase Utley,
yeah,
Ryan Howard.
We're not even talking about them.
And Roy Halladay, who's a little bit older now. I'm talking about guys like Placido Polanco, guys like Shane Victorino, who's not even as old as the other ones, but
right,
he hasn't been productive this year. You're not going to re-sign him at 32.
Yep.
And
Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence, he's 30 now.
What's he going to get? He'd probably get a huge deal after next season.
Exactly, and he's going to get a bump in arbitration next year.
But are the Phillies going to really want to pay him that money? I don't think so. The guy can't even play right field.
They have no left fielder. I mean, they do. He's in the minors, but everybody's afraid to call that guy up, but we're going to get him.
Yeah,
we're going
to
get to
him
in a little bit.
Him, yeah.
But the issue, it's not that we all of a sudden feel that this Phillies team is old because of the guys like Utley and Howard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that those guys are the issue. It's because of the people at every other position are old, but they're not productive.
Right.
Howard's 32. Utley's what, 31, 32? They're
Utley's
about
33, I think.
They're about at the same age, but they're still productive.
Yeah.
I mean, not as much
they're,
as before.
Yeah, they're in somewhat of a decline, but
they
you
are
could
the
still
issue.
Yeah, yeah. Those are still gonna be productive players that you can build around. We're not suggesting trading Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, or Ryan Howard. Those will still be your core of players. And you can put these other pieces like Mike Olt, you know, like prospects like that, like bring up Dom Brown, put these guys around them. They would need to be like the fourth or fifth, you know, best hitters on the team.
Right.
So, I mean, you're not talking about bringing these prospects in to immediately just be the best player on the team. But they don't have to be.
Exactly.
Look at how many good pieces they still have.
And look at how much better guys like Utley and Howard look with these younger studs around them.
They'll actually start scoring some runs again.
Exactly.
And, like, then like Polanco sucks, okay? He sucks. He's not good. He hasn't been good for years.
He's only good for his defense.
Mike Olt, even though he's a prospect and he's never played a big league game, would be a huge... I already know he would be a huge improvement over Polanco.
He would. There's no way around that. And you can argue that, yeah, he's a prospect. You don't know what he's going to do when he comes up. And yeah, that's true. But isn't it a better... Isn't the reward for that gamble more than the reward for gambling on just keeping a guy like Polanco around?
Yeah. It's pretty dumb. What was the point we were trying to make? I get so upset. I just start going nuts.
The point is that fans believe that the risk involved in bringing up prospects and putting them in these spots is more risky than parting with their beloved veterans.
Oh, right. Because the team's going to be in decline. It's risky. It is risky. It's risky to make these trades for a prospect. But it's about mitigating risk. And to me, the lower risk option between hanging on to something that's clearly not there in this supposed championship team and trading for some top prospects, I'll go with the prospects. This team needs to get younger. Yeah, it's risky, but that's the less risky option.
And let's be honest, I mean, I know fans don't want to hear this, but a lot of this is coming from the fact that a big majority of these fans are currently in denial about this team. They still think that they can make the playoffs. Yep. They think that there's no reason to sell because they still have a chance. And yeah, let's be honest, they have a chance.
Barely.
It's not going to happen.
Let's talk about that number I talked to you about earlier. It was like 5 days ago I saw this, and they've lost three times since then?
Yeah, they've won four times since then, but they've also lost three. Or no, they've won...
In 5 days?
No, they've won... What was it? They were 4-2 on the road trip after the deadline.
Well, I heard this like 5 days ago, so let's just go from 5 days ago.
Okay.
They've lost, they're what, like 2-3?
2-3 in 5 days.
Yeah. Okay, so 5 days ago, I heard that they would need to win 2 out of 3 games in every series for the rest of the season to win 87 games.
Right.
Okay, 87 games,
So when they came back from the deadline, they won 2-3 against the Rockies, they won 2-3 against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. They've now lost 2 to the Giants and could get swept today.
So... Do you honestly think this shitty team that we've been watching all year, and I know they got some pieces back, and they're going to be a little better now, but they're not going to be that much better. They're not going to win 2 out of 3 games. The best team in baseball might not win 2 out of 3 games the rest of the way.
And now that they've already lost this series to the Giants, they now need to make up that
ground and sweep. Yeah, like, this team is not making the playoffs. And that's just to win 87 games.
And that's just
what is 87 games going to get you necessarily?
Maybe a wild card.
Maybe. So please, this team is not making the playoffs this year, period.
So we think a lot of this reluctancy has to come with the denial of the fact that fans are currently in denial because they think they can still make the playoffs, they think there's no reason to sell, and they just don't want to believe that their streak of, 6 years of getting into the playoffs is going to kind of come to an end.
Right.
However, next on our bullet points of issues that fans have with prospects is that they are they're reluctant to trade the aging, underperforming veterans.
Right.
Now, when we were talking about this, it's a guy like, we used Polanco as an example before.
Polanco's such an easy target.
We'll go with him again. they become attached. When he first got signed to the Phillies, he wasn't as bad as he is now. Mm-hmm. He was still making a lot of contact. He had a high batting average. He had a high on-base percentage. He was clutch. And his defense, which still is great, his defense was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they're used to that. Now, he was hurt a bunch, hasn't played a ton, is injury-prone, and is not performing when he is on the field. He's still playing good defense, but at the plate, he's not doing anything. There is a fan reluctancy to be able to look at that guy and say, we need cut ties for whatever reason. And we can tie that in with Hamels too. There was so much
talk, and Victorino.
There was so much talk. Now, I can't really put Victorino in the category of an aging, underperforming veteran because he has performed well. I mean, he hasn't had the greatest of seasons this year, but for the most part he's performed pretty well. But you need to look at the entire picture.
Oh yeah, you always do. In anything in life.
31 years old, correct? 31, 32.
I think he's 30 now. He'll be turning 31 soon.
He's in a contract year.
Right.
Center field is not a deep position in baseball, so he's going to get paid.
He's going to get a huge deal.
In the offseason. Probably, team's probably going to pay too much for him.
Yes. Absolutely. I've said this for years, that whenever, when Victorino hits the open market, he is going to get we're not going to be able to keep him. It's not going to make sense to keep him.
And he should. He's a good player. He's a Gold Glover. I mean, any team would want his defense in center field, and that's fine. But would it make sense to invest that much money for the Phillies, to invest that much money in him when he's already 30?
Yep.
He's going to get a monster deal, so he's going to play both sides of it and probably get as much coin out of this team as he can.
Yeah.
Or you could trade him now and try and build from the bottom up.
Yep.
And get a guy who's in AAA now, who's being blocked by somebody else, that is ready to go and ready to play, and plug him in there next year and see what happens.
You, and any of these hypothetical trades, it makes so much sense to get these players that are near major league ready. With a team like the Phillies, it doesn't make sense to... You're not rebuilding, you're reloading. You're right. Going to get near MLB-ready talent. Players like Dominic Brown, who you could stick in right away, and you could hope that they would make an impact right away.
And that's a gripe that I have, especially with the media and the way that fans listen to what these guys have to say. There's a certain radio host in Philadelphia, and I'm not going to say his name, but he is so against these moves, and he calls it blowing the team up. He says, what are you going to do? You're going to blow this thing up? You're not going to be in contention next year? These fans, they've had such good baseball. They've shown their support. They pay a lot of money to come out here. And what? You're going to trot out some minor leaguers that nobody knows next year and expect them to come and pay that much money at the ballpark? Did you forget? Did you forget that Ryan Howard's on the team still? Did you forget that Chase Utley's on the team still? Did you forget that Roy Halladay's on the team still? Do you really think that nobody's going to go see them play?
If a couple of
position players are prospects that just got called up?
Chooch will still be here.
You've got to be kidding.
It doesn't make any sense. You still have a great core. You'll still have either... I don't think they're going to... They won't get rid of Hamels and Lee. So your starting pitching would be Halladay, Worley, and Hamels or Lee, or maybe even both.
Yeah,
who knows?
We'll see. Yeah.
But so you still have at least three very good to great starting pitchers. You have a still very good core in Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, and Chase Utley.
You have a $50 million closer that people still love to go watch.
Jonathan Papelbon. Chooch will still be there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How is this a bad thing?
It doesn't make any sense. How can you even say that if in moving guys like Victorino, maybe Hamels or Lee, Polanco, maybe Pence?
Yeah.
I understand Pence is a fan favorite, but think about what you could get back for him.
Yeah, you could get a huge haul back.
He's already making $15 million. I mean, I shouldn't get into this now. We had this plan to talk about a little bit later, but just for instance, Pence is making $15 million this year. You have him under control for another year, but he's going to go to arbitration, and he's going to get a huge bump there.
Yeah.
So that's more money that you're adding, getting you close to the luxury tax.
Yeah.
And it's just... You know, I'm not the biggest guy in the world saying, okay, trade Pence by all means.
Yeah.
But if you can get a big haul back for him, do it.
If you could turn Pence into... I would think of Pence deal. I think any of these deals would bring back like one or two near MLB-ready prospects that you could play right away. And then probably even two or three lower-level prospects to restock the system a little bit. So, you could basically turn Pence into two players that would contribute for you next year.
Right.
So you're basically making him into two players. Would you rather have one Pence or two?
I would. How about no Pence and give me two completely different guys?
That's what I'm saying. You could get two guys. You know, the whole outfield's a question mark. You know, you could get...
And I mean, it is... What we're proposing here is kind of risky. I mean, we're basically saying that you need to trade Shane Victorino, trade Hunter Pence if you can get enough back for him, and call up Don Brown. So you're going to have a completely new outfield next year.
Right.
And that's kind of a risky thing to do, but is it riskier than keeping these guys around until they expire?
Exactly. It's all about mitigating risk, and I think that this is the less risky option. I just think it's the best way to go.
And it seems that fans just can't wrap their head
they can't grasp
that.
It. They can't.
Because they feel like if there isn't somebody out there that I know that I like and I can root for, we're not going to win. But nobody knew or rooted for Hunter Pence until he came to Philadelphia anyways.
Exactly.
So what makes you believe that if you call up a guy like Mike Holt to play third base after you trade for him, you know, and get him back for the Rangers, what makes you think that his first at bat you're not going to fall in love with that guy?
I know. It's such misguided thinking. It's so strange. I don't understand it.
Okay, so there's a stigma around them that prospects that they are risky. They are reluctant to take a chance on them. They are reluctant to trade their aging, underperforming vets. We've also seen fans become very attached to the idea of that with what the Phillies have done in recent years to trade to get some of these other guys and sort of gutting their farm system, when guys need to get called up for injury reasons to fill the bench or to play positions or whatever, these fans, when there's like minimal production, they seem to get attached to these career minor league guys.
Right.
A perfect example, Jason Prydy.
Yeah.
Who's been playing on the bench for the Phillies the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. He is batting 300. He has a couple of home runs. He's had a couple big hits. He also has had some pretty ridiculous flops where he popped out with the bases loaded where they could have swept the Dodgers in that game.
Yeah.
So, but for whatever reason, now, while these Hamels and Lee and all these other trade talks are going on the radio, I hear callers calling in and saying, okay, you know, do these deals, but, you know, we'll keep some of these guys around. And we'll play Prydy in left field. That's an okay option. He can just start every day. Like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, forget the prospects. Put Jason Prydy in left
let
field.
A career minor leaguer who is basically a worse version of John Mayberry Jr. We've had to deal with all season long, put him out there. Let's let him do that. Okay, he's 4-for-9 in his pinch hitting roles or whatever the hell it is.
They love small sample size. They see small sample size success and they just automatically think he's
there's
the
our solution.
Yeah.
He can do it every day.
Yeah,
it's
like
the same thing.
He hasn't been on 5 teams in 11 years in their minor league system for no reason.
It's the same reason Ty Wigginton was so bad starting this year.
Yeah.
He's not an everyday player.
Right.
His success comes when he gets a couple days off. And then he gets like 2 starts in a row, and then you rest him again. Because over an extended period of time, his production drops dramatically. So it doesn't make any sense to move these guys and put so much faith in these career minor leaguers like Jason Prydy. I don't understand why, and I don't know if other fan bases do this also with their career minor leaguers that get called up for spot starts. Like the guy starting today at catcher while Chooch gets a rest, Eric Kratz.
Oh, they love Kratz.
Oh my God, Kratz is a fan favorite. He's done nothing. He's done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he has hit a couple bombs. You know, they think he's good. Actually, I kind of like Kratz too, but I like him because we have Chooch. It's funny. It's fun to root for those guys when they're your bench players. It's not fun to root for those guys to be your everyday player.
Exactly.
There's a reason they're not.
Exactly. Now, I can understand the love for Kratz because he's your bench catcher and he's not going to be playing a whole ton or, you know, whatever. But, you know, rooting for a guy like Jason Prydy when you when you have Juan Pierre and John Mayberry Jr. in there also... Mm-hmm. Why are you rooting for Prydy to get the position? Shouldn't you be rooting for your highly touted prospect, Dominic Brown, to get called up to play every day?
What?
It doesn't
hell?
Make any sense to me.
Yeah, and then, all right, let's get into Dominic Brown.
Well, hold on. Before we get into him, I want to talk about, more of the reasons in this particular circumstance as to why prospects they're so feared, I guess. And the examples are the trades that the Phillies have made in the last couple years and the prospect haul that they've gotten back for some players.
Right.
Couple of guys. Philippe Almont. What was the other one? J.C. Ramirez.
Tyson Gillies.
Tyson Gillies. These were all in the Halliday deal, correct?
Exactly.
Oh, no. The Cliff Lee deal that sent him after they traded for Halliday, correct?
Deals were intertwined.
They were
contingent upon each other.
Right.
You had to make that deal to get Halliday.
Right.
You weren't trading Cliff Lee for some middling prospects.
Right.
You were restocking a little bit by getting some middling prospects and hoping maybe one of them would pan out. Mm-hmm. But if it didn't, you got Roy Halliday. That was the crux of the deal.
So basically, a fan's entire argument over why you shouldn't trade to get prospects comes from one trade that happened 4 years ago that... They got a couple of prospects back that haven't gotten to the major leagues yet.
Right.
And that's why you shouldn't trade for prospects.
When the whole deal wasn't to get those prospects.
Right, it was to get
it was to get Roy Halliday. Those were throw-ins. Guys, those were throw-ins with the deal. That wasn't the deal.
Now, you gave up some prospects to get Halliday, and you ended up giving up Cliff Lee to get those prospects in return.
Right.
But look at some of the prospects that we gave up, and look at what they're doing.
Yeah, everybody we gave to the Blue Jays basically are balling out right now.
Yeah, I mean Kyle Drabek
is injured. He's going to be good,
right? It's worked out for them.
Travis d'Arnaud, has been very good.
Has been awesome.
Then Anthony goes, who we traded in the Royals Walt deal.
Yeah, who ended up getting traded from Houston to Toronto. He's starting now because Jose Bautista's on the DL.
Yeah.
Now they're completely different players, but he's seeing major league time.
He's looking like he's going to be pretty good.
Exactly.
Jonathan Singleton, you gave up to Hunter Pence. Hasn't hit the bigs yet, but he's looking like he's going to
be
pretty good.
He's going to be the starting first baseman in Houston coming soon. So, I mean, there's just... It's so frustrating because the argument is used when you say, oh, look, you can get a guy like Mike Olt back for them. It's like, oh, yeah, Mike Olt, what the hell is he going to do? Look at who we got back for trading.
Look at Philippe Aumont.
Look at Philippe Aumont. Has he even sniffed the big leagues yet? Yeah, what a waste. Sign Polanco again. Sign Victorino again. It's like... Oh my goodness.
It's mind-numbing. Aren't the type of prospects we'd be trading for.
Exactly. Philippe Aumont is nowhere near the caliber of a prospect that we would be getting back for training these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already in their head, they have this predetermined failure that's upon them.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. In a totally unrelated deal that happened almost 5 years ago. It doesn't make any sense. This is the kind of things that you and I have to deal with as fans.
Every single day. This is a good segue into...
Dominic Rome.
The Dominator.
Okay. So, just to recap. Fans think that prospects are risky. Why? We don't really know. I mean, they are, but is it any more risky around keeping old guys? Probably not.
Exactly.
They are reluctant to trade aging and underperforming veterans. It's kind of almost like a psychological analysis there, where it's like you become so comfortable with one thing that the thought of not having it, even though it's not the same as it used to be, is just too much to bear that you'd rather just hold on to it, you know?
Yeah, you hold on to something that isn't there. That's a perfect way to put it.
Okay, you get while you're struggling as a team, your career minor leaguers get called up for spot starts and do a couple good things in 9 at-bats, and all of a sudden they're the starting left fielder, and we don't really understand that at all. And then, finally, the training for prospects sets you back.
Right.
Now, this kind of ties into to the Dominic Brown thing, because this team has been so reluctant to just give him the keys to the car.
Right.
Because for whatever reason...
They screwed up his development.
They really
did. So bad.
They did. I don't think they screwed up to the point where he's a lost cause.
He's not.
But... They screwed it up so bad because they were so afraid to just say, here's the left field keys, just go and we're just going to keep you there and that's just what's going to happen. Instead, they felt the need to sign a guy like Juan Pierre in the offseason, who's been good.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
But
this wasn't supposed to work out like
but
that.
But not good to the point that Dom Brown could be if he could play every day.
Exactly. Let's remember,
they're different players.
Juan Pierre is a slap hitter. He'll give you basically nothing in the slugging department.
But he gives you on base percentage and he can steal bags.
Right.
But Dom Brown has the potential to be Daryl Strawberry.
He's a 5-tool player. Exactly. He could give you everything. So, yeah, there's that.
So, the thought of the prospects, it's kind of like, you know, you put these guys in and you're not going to be contenders next year. And I think that was the fear for a lot of fans with Dominic Brown.
It was. That's why he's in the minors.
But it doesn't make any sense because you still have Howard, you still have Utley, you still have all these other players.
You don't need him to be the face of the franchise.
No, you just need him to develop and turn into his own player.
Even as good as Juan Pierre has been... I'm still relatively certain that Dom Brown would be better in the same role.
This is the ultimate point of this section of our little prospects bitch section here, is that fans are afraid that if they don't have these proven guys in these positions as, you know, starting every day, that you're not going to make the playoffs and you can't win. Mm-hmm. And Phillies fans especially think that if they trade these guys away and plug these holes with younger kids whose ceilings are huge but are unproven, that they're effed because they're going to need 3 or 4 years to completely develop.
Yeah,
and it's just they're never going to sniff the offseason.
If they're in AAA, they're pretty much ready for a shot.
And all you have to do is look 5 hours to the west at the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
And look at what they've done.
Yeah, that team is all been developed from homegrown talent. The Phillies, even look at the Phillies themselves. This team was all homegrown talent at the beginning of their run here.
And the point that we're trying to make is right in front of their eyes, too, because look at Vance Worley.
Yeah.
Everybody was fine with bringing him up because there was a spot open for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought about getting rid of a guy to replace him with a younger guy, that just blows their mind.
Yeah,
but because there was a rotation spot open and they could call up Vance Worley, and now all of a sudden he's basically would be a two, maybe a one on some other staff.
Right.
It scares the hell out of them.
And to that I ask you, is left field not open? Is third base not open?
They're both open. Like, they're both completely open.
Let's get some fresh legs in there. Let's get some guys in there that can play fucking baseball. How about that?
And the funny thing about all of this is that we're mentioning guys that are easily replaceable, but guys that are more difficult to replace, like Jimmy Rollins, they'd trade him in a heartbeat.
They would.
They would trade him in a heartbeat. And for whatever reason, fans, they have an issue with Jimmy. I don't know.
I do too.
I don't know what it is.
He's lazy.
I mean, I know why you don't like him, but I don't think that's the reason other fans don't like him. I think they have a problem with some of that stuff that he said about them.
He's a polarizing figure.
He is. But is he not the entire foundation to why this team is where they are now?
He is. I remember several years ago, Ryan Howard said, I'm paraphrasing, this team goes as Jimmy goes, basically. If Jimmy's rolling, they're rolling. You know, and that's just, you know, he is. He's the catalyst. He's their leadoff hitter. He's an excellent defender. Rollins does not, as much of a problem I have with Rollins with his pitch selection and his base running, the guy is an excellent shortstop.
I remember in 2009, some of the plays that he made in that World Series versus the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I remember several times there were quotes that came out from reporters, from scouts, or people watching the games that said, you know, on a couple plays that Rollins made that they said Jeter couldn't have made that play.
Yeah.
He is really one of the top defenders in the league, and he gets a bad rep. Now wrap your head around this. As we're trying to wrap our head around the way this fan thinks, wrap your head around the fact that out of all of these guys that are easily expendable and replaceable, they trade Jimmy. Shortstop is a very shallow position in major leagues. They're hard to plug with quality guys.
Yeah.
Jimmy's a good defender. He's not a great hitter, but he's a good enough hitter for what he's doing. He's a perfect guy to have there. That's why I was fine with them re-signing him to a three-year deal. But out of all the guys, when you ask these, I'm using my examples of what I've heard on talk radio the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
When you say, okay, you don't want to trade these guys, who do you want to trade? They want to trade Jimmy Rollins. Now, think about what you could get back for some of these other guys we've been talking about. Hamels, Cliff Lee, Victorino, Pence. Now, think about what you would get back if you traded a team of Jimmy Rollins, who's older, on a three-year deal, making three-year $36 million.
That nobody else wanted to give him. What are you getting back for that? You're going to eat a bunch of salary is what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, you're going to eat a ton of salary. You're going to get back basically nothing.
And you're going to have to trust Galvis whenever he's healthy to be your everyday shortstop.
Which is fine because he's a great defender, but he's a serious downgrade at the plate from Jimmy Rollins.
Yep.
So why are they why are these fans so reluctant to trade other pieces, but a guy that they have some sort of predetermined grudge with because of some bullshit he said on the Best Damn Sports Show period, like, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, all of a sudden they're ready to ship him out of town.
Well, I think it really goes all back to what we're talking about. These fans are wearing their hearts on their sleeve.
Which is good, and that's just part of the reason that we like
That's why Philly sports is what it is.
Exactly. And not just Philly sports, but a lot of a lot of fans in other cities, New York, Boston, San Francisco, Cincinnati, these big baseball cities, Chicago, these fans, they're diehards. They wear their hearts on their sleeves, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But at some point, you need to be able to take those glasses off and look at things the way that they are and understand that, all right, you know what? It's not going to happen this year. That's fine. But you know what? If we do this, and this, the next 4 to 5 to even 8 years are going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't want to trade. Victorino, I've always said, has been one of my favorite Phillies. Yeah. I love the guy.
Yeah.
But it's time.
Yeah.
He's got to go.
Yep.
Hamels or Lee. I don't want to trade either of them.
No.
But it's one of our best options.
Right.
Hunter Pence. I like Hunter Pence. He get us some great returns back. You know, these guys, I don't want to trade him either. But you know what? Something has to be done.
It's almost as if, like, okay, they have a guy like Hunter Pence, and he's so awesome and great, and they just love everything about him.
Yeah.
And because of that, they feel that no other Hunter Pence ever exists. But at the same time, not only are there better options on other teams than Hunter Pence.
Yeah.
But there are better options on other teams that are in the minor leagues and ready to explode.
Right. Right.
Hunter, if you remember, and I said this to you off air before we started recording this, Hunter Pence wasn't shit 2 seasons ago.
I know.
He was awful.
Right.
He wasn't even on most fantasy teams 2 seasons ago.
His career really took off last season.
Right. So
and you know what? even statistically speaking, I mean, he was who he was. I called the Hunter Pence trade last spring.
I
was like, dude, I hope that Hunter Pence would be a great fit for them, blah, blah, blah. I remember before the deadline when they were obviously going to trade for an outfielder,
mm-hmm.
Hunter Pence's name started being floated around, and people were like, oh, I don't really want Hunter Pence, you know, I want Beltran. People were clamoring for fucking Beltran on a rental, you know, and like... It goes back to the name
actually,
thing.
Actually, a Beltran signing in the offseason this past year probably would have been a better
right.
shot because look at what he's doing in St. Louis.
But they...
I hate doing that, though, because I like, the same thing. It's like, should we have signed Papelbon or should we have signed...
Nah, yeah, you can't look at
or should we have signed Fernando Rodney expecting him to be the best closer in the game, you know?
But they wanted Beltran because... Yeah, and Beltran as a rental. You can't look at it like, okay, yeah, look what he's doing with the Cardinals. At the time, they wanted Beltran over Pence as a rental because they knew Beltran's name more.
Exactly.
And it's like that... It's just... Hunter, and look what happened.
Hunter
a
Pence...
A great player came over. And now
year.
You love him.
Yeah. And now you don't want to give him
yeah,
up.
Like, it's just... It's crazy. Like, it's really crazy.
So... Basically... I guess to kind of wrap up this whole gripe thing here is that we just wanted to say that coming from two Phillies fans, two diehard Phillies fans,
mm-hmm.
to the rest of them, we just wanted to say, don't be afraid of prospects. Don't be afraid of change. Embrace it. Love it. And I even want to go as far to say, hope they keep losing this season so that the management isn't so reluctant to pull the trigger on these deals because really... It'll work out better for you in the long run because you'll get quality stuff in return.
Exactly.
And you know what? If you can trade Hamels and Lee and sign Hamels as a free agent in the offseason, do that. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. What we've read is that they're pretty close to a deal, and now Lee is on the chopping block.
Right.
So this team is a huge deadline player. It's now or never.
It is. And everything we're saying here has us right back in contention next year. This year is gone.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose this year anyway, wouldn't you want to be there next year?
Exactly.
By getting prospects, you will be there next year.
Yeah, you're not losing enough of your core to be completely out of it, and you're not getting back just throwaways that would hinder you.
Or guys too young to play in the bigs.
You're getting back guys that would potentially be your starters at these positions for a very long time moving forward. So, I think they should do it. You think they should do it. They're probably going to do it, and a lot of people are probably going to be unjustly very upset about
it.
Yeah. But what we're doing here is we're trying to prepare you, and in using the Phillies as an analogy for some other teams that might be doing the same thing come the deadline, trying to prepare some other fans for what could happen. So, we hope you listen to this, and we hope that you just... prepare yourself for what's going to happen. Prepare your goodbyes to your beloved veterans, and just... Except the new breed. The biggest thing, and here's what I wanted to bring up about this thing in return. Look at who got called up this season. Bryce Harper and Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Look at what these guys are doing.
Right.
Look at how much other talent very similar to them is about to be injected into this Major League Baseball league coming up in the next few years.
Right.
Don't you want a piece of that?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, Mike.
And here you have the chance to do it.
We're probably not going to get Mike Trout or Bryce Harper back. You know, they're obviously two outstanding examples for what we're talking about.
Right.
But there's a lot of guys that are coming up now that are performing, that are first or second year players. Look at Mike Moustakas for the Royals.
Uh huh.
He is killing it right now.
Yep.
Eric Hosmer, having somewhat of a tough year, but a lot of potential, and he's a solid player.
And we've seen what he can do because he came up and did it when he got
called
up.
And he did it last year. Yeah, he's just having a really long slump so far. There's players like that who are coming up and who would be an upgrade over several positions on our team.
And we're not so naive to think that every single one of these guys is going to work out, that every single prospect on every team that calls up is going to be sensational, because that's just, it's unrealistic. But to trade some of these pieces that we have to get these higher level prospects, those guys are a much...
safer bet.
Safer bet than, you know, sticking with what we know that just isn't, let's be honest, it's not working. It's really not.
You know who else is a high-level minor league player that you need to stop ragging on?
Who's that?
Don Brown.
We didn't even talk about him. Let's talk about him for a little bit.
The guy can't play defense. I get that.
Who cares?
Neither can Hunter Pence.
Exactly.
The guy can hit. There is this huge stigma around Dom that he sucks, and he doesn't. He actually was very good last year when he at the plate for us.
Do you have those numbers?
I don't have the numbers, but off the top of my head, he had around a 750 OPS, a great on-base percentage. I think it was around 360.
Yeah, he was walking a ton. Yeah.
And he had 5 home runs in like 150 or 200 at-bats,
yeah,
which is a pretty good pop.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a good hitter, and especially for a guy as young and inexperienced as he was. He was a good hitter.
And he wasn't playing every day.
And he wasn't. That's exactly right. Like you said earlier, he was getting called up to, or he was getting called in to pinch hit. He wasn't playing every day.
Yeah.
Baseball doesn't work like that.
Right.
Not every guy can come off the bench and just hit like that.
We saw it with Jim Thome. He couldn't do it.
Right.
That's why he got traded.
So these guys see him coming in, you know, sporadically throughout the week. He's not playing, you know, he's not getting 50 at-bats a week, whatever. And they, or, you know, obviously not that many anyway, but, and he's, and, you know, he gets labeled as this guy who just stinks. And that couldn't be further from the truth. His numbers point that he's actually a pretty good hitter and he's going to get better.
Right.
Dominic Brown needs to come up and hit for this team.
Now, this season in the minor leagues, his numbers have been okay. He's had a little bit...
Some injuries.
He's had a little bit of trouble with some injuries. However, the most recent injury he just came back from, his rehab assignment in single and double A, he was something like 11 for 20 with 7 doubles and something like that. He's back in the lineup for AAA Lehigh Valley right now. He's had a bunch of home runs
so far. He's been playing well.
He's been playing very well. And when these guys get traded, you... expect to see him get the left field job permanently once all this trade deadline stuff goes down. He's going to start playing every day because they're not making the playoffs. They're going to give him a chance to play, and he's going to be the starting left fielder next year. And everybody just better freaking deal with it and learn to like this guy because he's going to ball out.
Yeah, and watch what happens when he gets some playing time.
Exactly.
And that's what a baseball player needs to be successful. He needs to play every day to hit the ball, and he will do that. I guarantee you he'll hit.
So, Mike, would you, let's bring up, our buddy Jason Stark. He had a column, Friday, I believe it was, either Thursday or Friday, is, his weekly Rumblings and Grumblings column, about what's going on, rumors around Major League Baseball. He had a pretty decent section on, some stuff he's been hearing about the Phillies, at this upcoming trade deadline. And let me mention a couple of guys that he mentions here that could be available for the Phillies. As we mentioned before, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee, who, and you know what, we say this a lot, we talk a lot about this from Philly perspective. What about the teams that would be getting him, some of these players?
What would you give to get Cliff Lee on your team if that was the last piece you needed to win a World Series?
If you're a Texas Rangers fan and you have Adrian Beltre and you know Mike Olt is what's stopping you from getting Cliff Lee, wouldn't you just say, do it? Just give it to him?
Yeah, like, you got to look at it like that because that's exactly what the Phillies have done in the past few years.
So Stark mentions that from what he is hearing, both Hamels, Lee, Polanco, Victorino, Kyle Kendrick, Joe Blanton could be actually a huge piece for them because he's pitched very well this year. And if they can move him, who has an expiring contract, they could get something pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think they
would
get a pretty good prospect.
Kendrick, Blanton, Hunter Pence, and then also Jimmy Rollins could be possible. So what does Stark talk about in this column here?
Well, he basically talks about the players that are available. He actually doesn't mention Cliff Lee.
Oh, right, because that came out actually yesterday, and this was from a few days ago.
It's a reasonable thought, though. You know, he's talking about a lot of the stuff that we're saying, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's just saying that, it looks like the Phillies are downplaying their interest in trading Hunter Pence. See, I kind of don't even want to go over this because it's just, they're sending out smoke screens all over the place. You can't take any of this for gospel. So, I mean, it's just basically talking about who they could trade and stuff.
So... I think what we want to wrap this up with here is that fans are very worried that this is going to turn into a fire sale, that they're just going to, that they're just going to, you know, trade every piece that they have or whatever and just blow the whole team up. And you really just have to look at it for what it is and understand that that's not. it. They wouldn't do that. It's not a fire sale. Yeah. You're not going to see Utley traded. You're not going to see Howard traded. You're not going to see Halliday traded. You're not going to see Ruiz traded. The guys you're going to see traded are either Hamels or Lee, one of the two, maybe both. What's probably going to happen is they're going to sign Hamels and are probably going to try and trade Cliff Lee to the Texas Rangers. I would assume that's what's going to happen. Pittsburgh has shown a ton of interest in Hunter Pence. I say if you can get something back that you can use, I say you do that deal. Victorino's contract is up at the end of the year. Get back as much as you can for him and move him. Jimmy Rollins, he is what he is. You're not going to get anything back for him. Yeah. You're going to end up eating money. Keep him. Kyle Kendrick, he's a long man. Whatever.
Yeah, you're not going to get a ton back
for him. And I don't think Philly fans would be too sorry to see him go anyways.
Oh, they would love that.
So that's another piece. And then Polanco and Blanton are interesting options too, because both are not going to be here next year either.
Yeah. And that's actually, those trades is probably where you're not going to get your MLB-ready talent back from. You probably would have to, if you want to get better prospects for those guys, you'd probably have to settle for some lower-level prospects.
But again, it's a huge salary dump.
But exactly. You're dumping salary, you're staying under the luxury tax, which is still extremely important because you need to stay under the tax this year because then if you go over it next year, it's going to be even more, it's going to affect their money even more
because right.
the penalty goes up.
Right.
But, so that's huge. And also, what are you losing by trading those guys?
Well, Polanco and Blanton, you're not losing anything.
Not losing anything. Right. So, yeah, trade those guys even
And would it really be that bad to have Mike Fontenot play third base for the rest of the year?
Well, he wouldn't because Mike Holt's going to play third
well,
base.
Well, if that trade goes down. But I'm saying if they move guys like that,
yeah.
who really cares because the season's lost anyways.
Yes, exactly.
Fans, what we're just saying is please just wrap your head around this logic. We're not trying to be... You might call us bad fans because we want them to lose and we want these trades to happen, but it's for the better of the team.
It's probably needed to happen for a couple years now.
But honestly, this is the best opportunity that they've had to do it.
That we've seen continual decline in this offense. And I know their wins went up a lot last year, but the team...
Their starting pitching was also unbelievable.
It couldn't be
year.
Touched, yeah. And the team's offense has struggled off and on since 2010. So, I mean, they weren't ever in a position to do this kind of stuff before because they were winning. Now that they're losing, it's actually kind of coming at a good time because they can unload all this stuff and reload. And then they'll be back next year. I promise you.
So please do not see us as doom and gloom guys because that's not what we're saying. We don't want the team to lose.
Right.
We've come to terms with the fact that they're going to lose this year.
Right.
So why don't you just cut your losses, try and reload, get some pieces back that you can help build your team around, and go at it again next year. Because, listen, if they do these deals that we want them to do and something interesting happens here with this team, I guarantee you they'll be back there next year.
They will. I will. I have no question that they will be back.
So if you have any thoughts on any of this Philly stuff, if you have any thoughts on comparing any of this stuff to what's going on with your favorite team right now, please feel free to send us an email, turningtwopodcast@gmail.com. We'll talk about it. We'll answer your emails. We'll bring it up next week. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, I am Alex_Metz, M-E-T-Z. Mike is M. Jankiewicz, J-A-N-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z. Let us know what you think. The trade deadline's in a couple days. It's about to get really interesting. A lot of teams are going to change. We're hoping that our Phillies team changes a lot.
Next week's episode is going to be crazy.
Yeah, because we're going to have so many trades to go over. So many, where does this impact who and what is this going to happen? And it's going to get nuts.
We're actually going to be recording that in Atlanta next week.
We are. And we may even have a special guest.
Ooh,
we may even have a special guest. We'll know more about that coming up, and we'll certainly let you know if that's going to happen. But it's going to get exciting. We're getting into the real meat of the season here. It's going to be awesome.
All right, buddy.
So for next week, you'll be hearing us from Atlanta, and hopefully we'll have some trades to talk about. So for Mike Jankiewicz, I'm Alex Metz. This has been Turning 2. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Peace.